Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Mega Colors. The Mega Colors.
Ted!
What up, Steve?
How are you doing, fine man?
You know, I'm fighting back, but I still don't feel awesome.
Oh, still battling that funk?
Yeah, sinus infection.
That's why we weren't here last week. Ted was just struggling.
Yeah, man. As I told my cousin, he goes, how sick are you? I go, well, I haven't smoked weed in a couple days, and I went to the doctor.
You're pretty sick.
I was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still kind of fighting this cough.
Dude, everyone, it's just... everybody's getting hit with this. Not just here at the station, but everyone I know is battling some kind of a crud, especially on our show on BJ and Migs. It seems like I'm the only one that hasn't been hit with it. But of course, yesterday I started feeling a little weird, and we've got a big trip ahead of us, Ted and I, going to Spokane. So I'm doing everything in my power. I've had so many cups of tea. I've been drinking water to the point where I feel like I'm peeing every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just, I woke up at 11 at night. I never wake up because I have to pee. I woke up because, and I actually debated whether or not I just want to pee to bed. Because I'm like, yeah. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tired.
Dude, oftentimes, like, my recycling, when I take it out, it's just a bunch of empty beer cans or, you know, a couple cans of, like, you know, beans or whatever. Last week, what was it, like, Thursday, I took out my recycling, and it literally was full of coconut water things and Gatorade. It's the same thing. It was just, like, fluids. Like, I just got to get them in.
Oh, nonstop fluids, man.
Oh.
Teas. Yeah. And, you know, I've been battling, like, some kind of... the thing that I'm getting hit with is, like, that phlegminess.
Yeah.
Like, I have no sniffles. I feel pretty good. I'm a little tired, but I'm tired because I wake up at freaking 2:30 in the morning. Like, I'm not going to, like, chalk up. Like, I remember telling my wife one time, and she's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't feel good. She's like, well, why? What is it that makes you not feel good? I'm like, well, I'm tired. She's like, you get up at 2:30 in the morning. Of course you're going to be tired. Like, yeah, good point.
But yeah, for me, it was like, I went to the doctor, and I was like, I don't know, like, felt like I had allergies and then like maybe a cold, but I'm pretty sure I have an infection now.
Oh, great.
And she goes, so then like we do some tests or whatever, and she goes, you're kind of right. You had allergies, then you got a bad cold on top, and now you have an infection. I was like, all right.
Why do I need you?
Yeah.
It's Dr. Ted Smith over here.
Well, it was
Ted
pretty
Smith,
simple, Steve.
MD.
Yeah, I took a green poo, and that's when I was like, all right. Something's not right inside, right? Honestly, that was the trigger point.
I hope you didn't go to, like, WebMD to diagnose the green poo.
Oh, yeah. I spent a night thinking I was dying.
Yeah, I mean, all signs. WebMD, either you have cancer or you have AIDS.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what is going on. Like, I could be like, oh, I bit my tongue. Oh, man, now I got a little like, canker sore. I go check, and it's like, oh, this is a sign of having HIV. Great.
Yeah,
thanks. No, I just bit my freaking tongue.
Right, and I can't tell you, like, I told a couple people that, like, I was like, I knew I had an infection because literally my stool was the wrong color. People were like, well, did you eat something really green? Like, no. I mean, I'm sure I ate something green, but, like, you can eat spinach. I eat spinach all the time.
It's not like beets.
Right.
Or asparagus makes your pee smell like asparagus. Beets make your everything turn red like you're internally bleeding.
Yeah.
But if you eat a lot of broccoli, you're not going to all of a sudden have green poop.
Right, exactly. That's what I was like, no. Like, trust me. Like,
who's the moron that's diagnosing you that way?
It's happened twice. That's what I was like, that's why I went to the doctor. Like, it's pretty clear to me. Like, that's a pretty easy sign. Like, oh, my God. My poo is green. I think I have an infection. And the doctor's like, hey, you have an infection.
Right, not, well, I've been eating a lot of Brussels sprouts, Ted.
Yeah, you've been eating spinach?
Yeah. You want it to be more brown. Maybe you should eat more brown food.
Right?
Like, who?
It happened twice.
This is why not everybody should be a doctor, myself included. But
yeah.
There's obviously the two people that have brought it up to you, I'm glad, are not doctors.
Or maybe they're just eating that much green vegetables, Steve.
How much green vegetables can you... My wife is always... Like, then again, I'm not examining her poop. That'd be weird.
So honey, hang on. Let me check out this poo.
And of course, she doesn't poop because she's a woman and that doesn't happen.
No.
Right. But if she did, I'd imagine that it's not green.
No.
I'd like to examine... No, I'm kidding.
That's what I'm saying. It was a warning sign. Like, all right, something's not right here.
Oh, man. Of course, though. It's all leading up to our big trip to Spokane. We're going to Spokane. So we're going to take you over, Spokane, for the big hockey tournament called the Northwest Classic. The Donkeys getting on the party bus. Thank you, Levi Lyon and Lion Pride Music, because they're going to be setting us up for a great trip. And, you know, I should give a shout out to what I love about Levi, even though he's not coming with us because he's in the middle of doing some kind of crazy smoky mountain high festival, and Denver and then going to Austin. And he's just been going everywhere with the big party bus. So we're taking the smaller party bus. But I got to give a shout out to Rich, our bus driver. He's flying.
What up, Rich?
Rich is flying back because he didn't want to miss the classic. He's flying back from, like, I don't know where they're going to be this weekend. I think Boise, maybe.
I think I saw that they were going to Idaho.
Yeah, so he's flying back just so that he didn't miss the classic, and because he had so much fun with us.
Nice.
And I want to give a shout out to Marijuana Depot.
All right.
I think they're in Lacey. I'm not positive, but you could Google it. But every year they end up hooking us up with, like, goodie bags, like Easter baskets, as we call it, because it's Easter weekend.
Yeah.
With all these other fine marijuana products, and this time around it's Marijuana Depot. So
nice
shout out to those guys. What's the guy's name that runs Marijuana Depot? It is James. So shout out James, Marijuana Depot. Thank you very much. The whole team thanks you, except for the one guy in the military. He won't touch it.
Yeah, he won't thank you,
but he'll bring a Tinder chick on the bus and she'll eventually steal people's money,
dude. Yeah, somebody asked me about that last night. Alfie, a guy we had in to sit in on the podcast, and afterwards, like, yeah, me and Steve are going on that trip. He's like, is anybody going to rob a girl again?
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Dude, I talked about it this morning on BJ and Migs because we were talking about, there was a story in the news about this guy who went on a date with a chick that they met on Tinder. She went to the bathroom. He took her purse and bolted and then took out a bunch of money at a casino and started gambling like $800. So, and they couldn't.
Jesus.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. I wouldn't trust anybody on Tinder. We've had an experience, and it had nothing to do with me. It just had to do with our buddy, getting a chick from Tinder, and she turned out to be a thief.
Yeah, yeah. And that whole thing's crazy, too, right? Because, like, with Tinder, like, you feel comfortable. Like, that's not our home, and that's our bus. And it was awkward to begin with, but then it's like, right, like, you've never even had a drink with this girl.
Right. This is your first date. Is, hey, come hang out with me and 10 other men on a bus.
Yeah.
Where people are doing questionable things.
Yeah. And, like, this year we'll have, like, the smaller bus. Number one, I think it'll be easier for Rich to drive.
Yes.
But number two is I don't think we'll attract as much attention, which I'm okay with.
I'm absolutely fine with that. It gets a little out of control on the big bus because you just had the most random people coming on the bus. And whether it be just drunk dudes or kleptomaniac women, I'm okay with not having to deal with that this time around.
Yeah, because I was telling somebody last night, like last year with the big bus, like, because we just kind of park it near the bars and stuff.
Yep.
But I spent legit like a half hour or 40 minutes just standing across from the door because the cops were parked behind us the whole time.
Yep.
And just people kept coming off and be like, put that beer back on there.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And like, people
don't be stupid.
Right. Like, you don't think about it, but it's like, right, like, you step off that bus with a can of beer, now you just have an open container.
Right, yeah. It's not, you're not in New Orleans or Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. So why don't we get our heart racing, our blood pumping, and our brain
functioning.
And I figured this time, what better song to go with than to get more excited for the Northwest Classic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's our jam.
I figured that was going to be it.
Yeah, you got to go with it.
We're back.
We them boys.
We them boys.
Let's get 10. Oh, I can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah. Still, like, we need to be in this video.
I don't think it's ever too late to be in this video. Why don't we just creatively edit ourselves into the video?
That's what I was gonna say. Couldn't we do that?
Yeah.
TED Talks, starring BTX Smith.
TED Talk this week's one I've touched on before. It's just about friends, and obviously it's a personal story with Steve right here. But man, you could tell I'm still kind of fighting this thing. Was not feeling awesome last week.
Yep.
Steve's hosting Defy Wrestling. I said, you know what? I'm still going to go, this and that.
I fully anticipated that you weren't going to make it. And I would have understood because I knew that you went to a doctor and you stopped smoking weed. Therefore, TED sickness was legit.
Right. And even afterwards, right? Like, I knew Steve would be pumped. So we went. It was a great time. And then afterwards, I had already put on my sweatpants and stuff. But Steve was like, yeah, I'm in for a beer. So I was like, man, Steve's never up in the city. Screw it.
Yeah.
So I got changed. We went out. We had a great time. You know, I had three beers. Steve had like a beer.
Yeah.
And got some food.
Beer and a half.
Yeah. But either way, you know, sometimes just if it's somebody, it's a buddy that you like that much, just go ahead and go.
Make time for your friends.
Yeah.
It was awesome because after Defy, I text you. I'm like, hey, are you still around? And then I figured you wouldn't be because like I was running around like my head cut off at the end of it, just saying goodbye to people. And you're like, no, I'm already back in towards where I live when I meet up for a drink. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. But I'm like, nah, yeah, actually I do. And it's funny because I texted my wife and she was already asleep. So I didn't even need to. But I was like, hey, I'm just going to go get a quick beer with Ted, kind of celebrate the night. I thought for sure maybe we'd like be there. And in my head, when I left there, I thought, oh, wait, that was a good 20 minutes together. We were at that bar for like an hour, hour and a half.
Were we there that long?
Yeah, we were there until they kicked us out.
Right, because you walked in at like midnight and then, right,
1:40. Yeah, 1:40 I left.
That was the other crazy thing. It's just like me and Steve are sitting there. I'm like, when's the last time we saw Last Call in a bar? And we weren't even like drunk. Because I mean, I literally had like three beers during your event. But I was like, it was just weird. I even said to Tyler, the manager, I was like, this is weird that I'm here at Last Call, but I'm not like wasted.
Like when the bartender said Last Call, we took it as a very reasonable request that we needed to leave. We were all like, yeah. Oh, come on, more right. Shots. But the fire wrestling was awesome. Thank you to everybody who came out. Heard a few people chanting Rock Hard, which was hilarious. I was trying to keep a straight face while I'm in the ring being the ring announcer, but I'm hearing everybody and man, like I don't want to get super emo about what it's like to be in that, but like it meant a lot to have you there, Ted. I saw you up in the rafters when I was in the ring. I almost wanted to wave like, Ted, I see you. But I'm like, gotta act the part. I'm the ring announcer. I'm the host. I'm not supposed to be geeking out because my friend is here.
We got to give you a secret sign.
Yes.
Like, remember that boxing ref that always, like, tap his nose or whatever?
Was that, like, in Carol Burnett did that?
Oh, yeah. All right.
It shows how old I am, I guess. But
good reference, Steve. we them boys, and we like Carol Burnett.
In black and white.
In black and white.
Yeah. We're a black and white show. But, yeah, I got to figure out something. But, man, like, being in that ring, like, look, in life, I think we all have our insecurities, and I definitely have many, and I always go into these things expecting the worst, and I don't know why, because, man, the fan base for Defy Wrestling makes me feel so good.
It's unbelievable.
It's an adrenaline rush. It's a drug that I wish we could bottle and sell, because the minute I step out of that curtain, this time I came out to the music of the Murder City Devils, and the love that I feel. And it's a genuine, I think that the crowd, and I talked to a lot of people that were there, and they're like, we love having you there because you're one of us. You love wrestling just as much as us, and you love not just WWE wrestling, but independent wrestling, which is a whole different animal, Ted learned.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man, is like, you know, we do a lot of stuff together and a lot of station stuff together. Yeah. So like, how should I say this? Well, I'll just say it. So, like, I'm kind of used to being with you, and, like, you'll get some love. People show me some love.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool, even for me, to be in an environment where, like, it wasn't just, like, because you're Steve from the radio. It's, like, you're their guy.
Right.
You're a wrestling guy. You're one of them and stuff. And it was just, it was kind of wild for a change to be just sitting up there, bird's eye view, just kind of watching people and, like, watching their reactions to you and this
it's
and
awesome.
That. Yeah.
I got to give a shout out to the whole streamer club. Those guys, I mean.
Can we throw streamers from the top or is that just the front?
Do it wherever. Those guys will hook you up with some streamers if you don't have any. I mean, those guys are amazing. And I've told them, I tweeted out a couple of the guys and I said, the reason why there is such a hot fan base for Defy, I don't think it goes unnoticed that those guys are like, they kind of created that. Like, just what they do with the streamers and how they are, it's infectious. Like, the whole crowd is just, you know, it's just a cool feeling. If you ever have a chance to go, and I know it's almost sold out already for Defy
3. That's crazy.
They've already sold out all the seats. Now it's all general admission. And Ted was in GA. GA is not like as if you're, like, far away and you can't see the ring. You're on top of that ring no matter where you are. Sitting. It's like four or five rows deep, and then it's GA. It's not like as if, like, GA is, like, in a distant, far away place.
No, and they do a good job. Like, there's a bar set up. Yep. The other thing I got to say, too, is, like, I never been to an independent wrestling thing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know what to expect. And, like, number one, it's much more exciting than I thought it would be.
It's so much fun. It's not anything like the WWE.
No.
It's all about the action in the ring, and those guys are insane.
Yeah, and they're yelling at, like, audience members and stuff. But you're right, like Eddie Van Glam, right?
Oh, I love him.
When he's on the what do you call it, like the turnbuckle or whatever, and the streamer guys had him covered in the rainbow stream, I was just like, that, to me, that is still the image of the night.
That was my favorite moment.
Yeah.
And then him, like, and I just love the improvisational skills that those guys have. A lot of stuff, like, we were fleshing out moments before we went out there. You know, not to give a whole peek behind the curtain, but, like, something as funny as, like, we're in the right before we went out there. I'm talking with Eddie, and I'm like, we're talking about his outfit because he had a really cool outfit. He was, it's his Battle Mania outfit for 3-2-1 Battle, which is happening next week.
21st. Yeah.
Are you going to go?
I don't know. If you I do know Cage Sport MMA is on the 22nd.
All right. Well, if you got the time, because I'm going to go.
All right.
So if that'd be awesome if you could come, because that's like their big one. And so he's like, I was going to save it for Battle Mania. But he's like, sold out crowd. Great photographers, great video. I'm busting it out for Defy. And so we're talking about it. He goes, hey, man, what do you think about me draping the jacket on you when I take it off? And I'm like, yeah, dude. I was like, you know what would be really funny is if you put it on me. And then we fleshed out this whole idea. And then in the ring, he's like, you want to wear it? I'm like, should I wear his jacket? And everyone's like,
yeah, it looked natural.
Oh, it's so much fun. There was a lot of moments like that. And I have so much respect for a lot of those wrestlers, man. They are so – Shane Strickland is one of my all-time favorite people.
Swerve City,
man. And the guy is an amazing performer. And then backstage, I'm talking with him, and he's giving me tips about – he's like, bro, you're – like, you made a huge jump from Defy 1, which I thought you were really good, to Defy 2. And it's cool to feel the love, not only from my fellow wrestling fans, but from the wrestlers. Like,
they see it.
They respect how much enthusiasm I have because it makes them look larger than life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the way you chose your curse words were very well.
Yes.
Because, like, you can curse, because, like, Ken Davis, that does the ring announcing for Cage Sport, right? Like, I'm the MC, he does the ring announcing. Yeah. We were kind of jealous that you got to curse.
Yeah.
But also,
getting to talk to him and meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was also, I like the way that you like punctuated some things with it, but it wasn't like over the top, like you're just cursing to curse.
I think I used an S bomb and an F bomb in my intro. Yeah.
Yeah. When you said you were kicking down that effing door, I was like, yeah.
I love that moment.
Yeah, I was fired up too.
I wrote that in my head on the drive in. I had a whole different spiel. Whenever I'm like driving, I'll just voice text myself ideas. And that one, as I was driving in, but then it was like trying to flesh it out to make it work. And I was nervous. It was everything about it is so much fun. And I have so much love for everybody that comes to Defy. We've created something really special, like not only with the wrestlers, but with the fan base. There's like we're all in it together, which was cool. There was a fire alarm, and that didn't even slow things down.
Fire alarm, right. And people just filed out. Oh, shout out to the guys on Twitter. I forgot his name. They were tweeting us all day. They were going.
Oh, yeah, Tien?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So during the fire alarm, he finds me outside. He's like, I got beers in the trunk. You want to go have one? I was like, yeah. And they had Miller Lite and red cups because they thought they'd run into me. And I was like, perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know. I felt bad. They're like, hey, where are we pre-funking? I'm like, bro, I'm not pre-funking at all. I need to prepare. Like, I spend up in, I get there at 5 p.m. from 5 until 8. I'm basically BSing with all the wrestlers, coming up with how you want me to introduce you. Some of the wrestlers don't even have any idea of how they want to be introduced, so then we flesh something out together. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
One of my favorite observations that Ted Smith had was the difference between WWE wrestling and independent wrestling is there are no gender gaps.
No.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that one girl got beat up a lot by Avispa. The sexy Mexies.
Yes, Avispa.
Yeah.
And she's one of my favorites. Like, I saw her at a 3-2-1 Lucha event a few months back, and I was in awe. Like, she is so good.
Yeah, that one. Well, that's the other crazy thing, right? Because the crowd is chanting curse words at some point. It's a 21 and over event.
Yeah.
And then I watched a woman get beat up, but everybody's really nice, and it's just like part of the show. That's what kind of blew me away. Like, I won't lie. I was like, Kenny, is this normal? And he's like, yeah, it's independent wrestling. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, we can cheer on a dude beating up a woman. It's okay.
Like, all right, right. But then, like, yeah, it just, for my first time, I won't lie, it kind of caught me off guard.
I can understand that. Yeah. I don't think about that because I'm just so used to it. I've seen women get into, like, bloody wrestling matches. Candice LeRae, look her up on YouTube. She got into a match where her face is just bleeding to the point where she uses it to market. Like, she has t-shirts with her face bloody.
Yeah.
She signs 8x10s where her face is bloody. I think it's so empowering for women, like, you know, not to get like, I'm not Steve the feminist, but I think it's cool that the women are just as much of an ass kicker to the men and the men ass kick the women. Like there's no, oh, I shouldn't do this because she's a woman, or she's not like, I can't do that because he's a man and he's bigger and stronger, quote unquote. Like Avispa's throwing people around and just doing insane stuff off the top rope, jumping out into the crowd. It was awesome.
Right. And it's not just the chicks too, because sometimes when they get into the ring, forget which matchup it was, but it was just like, there's no way that's like skinny, like 160-pound dude could hurt this guy.
Right.
But because it's wrestling,
you suspend all belief.
Right. He's throwing them around and stuff. Yep. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention, I can't get over how electric that crowd was and how nice everybody was.
Everybody was great.
Yeah. Like, they're just filing out on their own orderly during the fire alarm was just unbelievable.
And it's funny because I think if you walked into that crowd, you'd be like, I am terrified.
Yeah.
It looks like a punk rock audience. Like, everybody's
hostile.
Right. Everyone's wearing, like, you know, ripped up clothes or black t-shirts. Like, we all look like derelicts, right?
Yeah. And if you don't know wrestling, by the way, all the Bullet or the Lulu or what, all the clubs, it looks like y'all are in a gang.
Yes. I know the Bullet Club. We were doing myself and Ronald McFondle, who wasn't wrestling, but Josh was there. He was the main light guy for Defy that night. And I think he's going to be doing it here on out. And he's very talented with lights. We were like, man, if the Bullet Club could sue everybody who, because he's like, Bullet Club has to be the most copped and parodied t-shirt design. I mean, I do it with Lulu Club. There's Streamer Club. There's Big Cat Club. There's this club,
it's
that club. It's the coolest logo. But I was like, man, if they got even a dollar from every shirt that's been made parodying them, they'd be millionaires. They would never have to wrestle again. The Young Bucks would be set for life.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Super Kicks.
So maybe we need to make a Megacast Club shirt.
I will say a lot. I wore the original Megacast shirt. Yep. People were asking.
I know. I had a few people saying, hey, are you going to sell Megacast shirts at Defy?
Yeah.
I know we're working on having Lulu Club shirts for the May 26th show, which is Defy 3, Swerve City. Swerve taking on John Morrison. You might remember him from the WWE's Johnny Mundo and Lucha Underground. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to.
And Leo's coming back, too.
Yes.
Leo Rush.
Leo and Swerve put on probably the best match I've ever seen.
Highlight.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was good that they had intermission after that, because I almost said that on stage, but I didn't want to. It wasn't out of disrespect to the other wrestlers. It was out of respect to them. But I was like, there's nobody that can follow that match.
No, literally, that's what me and Kenny were talking about. Yeah. Like, that match was so good. I was like, they got to take it in. Like, you just texted me, and then you came out and went, we're going to take an intermission. We were like, yeah, you got to take a break after.
Yeah, it's not fair to any other wrestler to go on after that.
No.
Unfair expectations. All right, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, I want to talk about my WrestleMania weekend at AJ Francis's house, because I had an insane experience with Brent Grimes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and you hinted at it, but you still haven't told me.
I'm so excited to share this story with you. It's one of the coolest stories, and it's only going to make you love Brent Grimes even more if you don't already love him.
Nice.
All right, the Megacast, we'll be back.
Thank God for ghosts and Ted and Steve. The Megacast will be back.
Some possible new slogans for United Airlines. If you weren't afraid to fly before, you will be now. We put the hospital in hospitality. Just imagine how we treat your luggage. Keep your feet out of the aisle. We need dragging room. United Airlines, now serving punch. Welcome to our new Fight Club and Express Checkout Service. We'll beat any price and beat any customer. You carry on, we carry off. Early boarding, late boarding, waterboarding, it's all the same to us. Board as a doctor, leave as a patient. This has been possible new slogans for United Airlines.
Don't worry, Mega family. It's gonna be all right. The Megacast is back.
We gon' be all right.
We're going to be all right, Ted.
That might still be my favorite Kendrick song.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
Dope video, too.
So when I went to Orlando and got to spend time hanging out at AJ Francis's house, the few things, I texted you one of the nights we were out going to get dinner, and he's playing me. AJ Francis is not only a great football player, obviously, he's in the NFL. He's a star for the Terps. He's now on the Washington Redskins. He's also a great podcaster with his wrestling podcast called Jobbing Out, very knowledgeable about wrestling. He was great to work alongside when we did WrestleMania Radio Row. Just, it was fun to have him there. And at one point, I even pulled him aside before, like, I was like, hey, man, let me know if it bothers you that I bring up the fact that you're in the NFL. He goes, no, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying it to these wrestlers, but I like that you do because I feel, and the reason why I would bring it up is I felt like it would endear the wrestlers to us because it's like, yeah, you're a superstar in the world of wrestling, but I have a guy who plays in the NFL. So
yeah, and it's
a mutual
kind of,
respect.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, look, even me and you, right? If we're out a bar talking to people and then somebody else is like, oh, well, I actually work in TV or radio, like, we're automatically going to be more inclined to open up more.
Yeah, excited to talk to them because
you're
like,
okay. Yeah, so pro athlete's a pro athlete.
So I really did think that had a lot of help with the success of all the interviews. We had a great time. So now we're driving around in his car and he's playing this music and I'm like, oh, this, I like this. And he's like, oh, it's me. I'm like, excuse me. And he goes by the, he's working on a new record or his first debut record. It's called Frank. And the C is a cent sign, which is kind of cool. So originally it was going to be franchise, but he realized someone else is using that for Francis franchise. But
yeah, like Stevie Francis.
Yeah, so he's going with Frank.
Franchise.
That's going to be his. Rat
he's
name.
A turt, man. He knows Steve Francis is the only franchise in Maryland history.
All right, well then he learned, and he's playing me some of the stuff, and it's on SoundCloud, and it's freaking really good.
All right,
now he's playing me this other song, and I'm looking at the label on his. Like on the readout on his stereo, and it says Stitches.
My man, and, Stitches.
And I'm like, is that Stitches? I put a brick in your face, Stitches? He goes, yeah, man. I met him. He heard my stuff, and he goes, I want to rap on it. I didn't even have to pay him to rap on it. I'm like, what? So that's when I texted you. I'm like, bro, I got to get a copy of it. He's put out a couple of his other songs, and they're really good. But the song he did with Stitches is freaking amazing.
All right.
And it's just, it's freaking Stitches.
That's insane that he has a song with Stitches.
Quick side note, Rachel Barley, one of our new rock girls, who
she
I'm
was
have,
just down there with Stitches.
She flew to Orlando to be in his music video.
Yeah, I know. I saw that the other day. She posted, like, Orlando Stitches, and I was just like,
I don't understand. How does everyone that I know Stitches? How do we get to know Stitches?
Right? I mean, right? I just stumbled on that guy because of Vice. Like, to the point where, like, on my podcast, people were emailing in, like, enough with the Stitches stuff, guys. Like,
right.
We're tired of it.
Yeah. So it's funny that I spent a weekend, and then the next weekend, one of our rock girls is telling us how she's down there and hanging out with Stitches. And I saw a picture on her Snapchat. It's like, I think he has, like, a strip club in his basement. Like,
yeah, I'm not shocked by that.
Right. And there's, and at one point she shared this picture, and it's the stripper pole surrounded by guns. And I'm like, this does not seem like a very good environment for you, Rachel.
Hey, I mean, Stitches is not, he doesn't care.
No.
I mean, I can't get over, right, bricking your face. I mean, just, I love selling blow.
Selling blow. So.
Also, it just proves the point, too. Like, you know, when you see people and you're like, oh, like, that guy's a jackass or whatever. It's like, you might think he's a jackass, but it gets chicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. She was sending out snaps of the other girls that were there with her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I need to sing about selling blow.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'm listening to some of the stuff that AJ did, and honestly,
we would be terrible drug dealers.
We'd be the worst.
Yeah.
We would never sell it. We would just be giving it away to people.
Yeah, or like, just get us next week.
Yeah.
You know?
I trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't paid me in 6 years. I trust you.
Right. And then the big dog be like, hey, Steve, Ted, where's the money? They, I don't know.
I don't know, but I got a joke to tell you.
Right? We better go hurt that guy. We? Hurt?
Wait, we have to use these guns?
Yeah.
Can't we just like get one of those Nerf guns? Like the ones that have the little balls at virtual sports that kind of hurt?
Right. Can we just scare them?
Yeah. Like, maybe hit him in the head with it?
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot anybody.
Yeah.
That seems aggressive for a drug dealer.
Right?
We're your friendly neighborhood drug dealer.
Yeah, we're just here for fun times.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want someone that's more aggressive, then talk to Stitches. He seems to know some people.
Yeah, get a real drug dealer, dude. What do you think we're going to do?
Right. You picked us.
Right?
Do you not listen to us? We call ourselves the Disciples of Fun.
That would be a funny thing, too. Because, like, with selling, especially if we sold cocaine, it's like, let me get this straight. You two didn't do any. No, we don't touch that stuff.
No, we're terrified of it.
But you still have no money because you gave it all away. Well, yes.
Yeah. But we want to make sure people have fun when they're around us.
It was an epic party.
Yeah. I mean, people were pumped.
Yeah. Stitches was there.
Stitches, and he wrote us a song.
Right?
Steve and Ted give you blow away for free.
Right.
We love giving it away for free.
We don't make a dime.
We'd be the worst.
Right?
So I'm hanging out with AJ, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got a couple more people that are going to be coming by. I met, I met a dude that plays for the New York Giants, which was, it was all surreal. Like, and man, it's fun when you're with somebody that is their friend, and you get to see the real side, not the guard is up, or I don't know if I can trust you because I don't know you. Couldn't be cooler guys, right? Obviously, we know AJ, and he's awesome. Then all of a sudden, who shows up is Brent Grimes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and his son. So we're hanging out, and we're just playing Rock Band, doing some things, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, we got to go outside. This is like midnight. I'm like, what are we going to do outside? Like, what? We got to go take out this beehive. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, there's a beehive. And I'm like, so why now? Well, I just thought about it. Okay. So all of us go outside, and now we're...
How big is his yard?
This is out in the front deck.
All right.
His yard is... He had like a pond in his yard, which apparently has a bunch of gators.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Right, which I was like, I'm not going anywhere near that. That's a whole other story. But yeah. If we have time, I'll tell you about that as well. But so now we're outside and they're like, okay, we got to get these beehives off of like the, like that are like connected now to the house.
All right.
I'm like, okay.
Why this isn't AJ. Brent has this idea.
This is, I don't know who came up with the idea. I went to change because we just got back. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, we need to go outside.
Kill these bees.
Right. I'm like, all right. So we go outside. So now we have AJ has a broom. Brent has the hose. And I'm like,
you don't have spray?
No.
Jesus Christ. This is not going to end well.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, why are we doing this at midnight? Why does this have to happen? What is going to happen in the next 6 hours that we can't do it tomorrow morning?
Because you can't kill bees until you got a buzz on.
Apparently. So now we're outside and Brent takes charge.
All right.
And it's fun to watch, you know.
I like it.
Leaders lead. And
yeah.
He is very apparently a leader. He
all
doesn't
right.
need to lead with his mouth. He just leads by actions. And I had so much
respect.
Yeah. A ton of respect for the guy. Like, I already dug him. He was super cool, super friendly, nice dude. But man, at that moment, I was like, I am the president of the Brent Grimes fan club. I'm buying a Brent Grimes jersey. Based on just this experience alone. So he grabs the hose and just sprays it at the like high pressure, sprays it at the beehive. The hive goes down.
All right.
There's,
but now the bees have to be swarming.
Right. And it was a small hive, but there's still some bees in it, including a big Mamba Jamba looking bee.
Yeah, queen.
And I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. And I'm right next to Brent while this is going on. And I'm like, I kick myself for not filming this. Like, the whole time we laughed afterwards, we're like, we should have been filming this and we should add the music, Bobby Roode's Glorious, to be played in the background as this is going on because this was such a glorious moment.
All right.
So the bee goes down. Brent, without even missing a beat, and I don't even know if he put his hands on the banister of the fence around the front deck, hops it. And Brent's not super tall. He's about your height, I think.
All right.
But he can jump the height, his own height. He could probably jump over me. It was ridiculous watching this guy. So he just hops over this high, like the fence is like probably about, I don't know, 4 feet high, maybe 3.5.
How far is the drop from the deck?
No, the deck was minor. It was like, I only call it a deck, a patio more than anything. It was,
all right.
You know what I mean? So now he goes from the outside of the patio, jumps over onto the over the fence, and is now right there, him against the beehive. And
all
just
right.
stomps it.
Stomped it? Wow.
Okay, I'm not crazy for thinking that this is insane.
How is he not getting stung?
I don't know. He had shoes on.
No, but I mean,
they're
buzzing. They got to be buzzing around it.
Like I said, it wasn't a big beehive, so there wasn't a ton of bees, but there was enough. He took it all out in one fell swoop.
Damn.
And I'm looking at this, and we're all looking at it. So it's not just me. It's not just you. It's AJ. It's Glenn. It's Aaron. It's the whole crew. It's this guy, Jeff, as well. Good dude. And we're all like, what in the hell? Like, it was beehive goes down, hops over. Like, basically when he lands, he's stomping on the beehive. And I'm just like,
damn.
So we're all laughing and like, oh my gosh, adrenaline rush. And this is the greatest moment. He just looks at all of us and goes, sometimes you just got to be a savage.
All right.
Hop things and jump on S.
That's his quote.
I wrote it down.
Sometimes you got to be a savage.
Yeah. So yeah, right there. See, sometimes you got to be a savage, hop things, and jump on S. Like even Aaron Oster, from part of the Jobbing Out crew, he tweeted it out that night. Like we, for the rest of that night, that was the motto. Sometimes you got to be a savage.
I like that.
I know. I feel like that should be like our, you know, how like stay beautiful for the men's room.
Yeah.
Is how you end the show. Mixcast, stay positive. I feel like for us, thank you for listening. And sometimes you got to
be a savage.
So be a savage, everybody.
Yeah, I like it.
It was amazing. Bro, I wish you were there. I wish you were there to witness
this.
That's
awesome.
It was so insane. Like, and now we're running hot.
Yeah, and it's midnight.
It's midnight. So we go back and play guitar band, and I suck at it.
All right.
But it was fun, dude. That was a great time. We had a blast. I just, it's not like an insane story, but it's an insane story.
Pro athletes are just such a higher level of athlete.
Next level.
Yeah.
And the guy was not pissing me off, like legit, jokingly pissing me off. It didn't matter what we were doing. Brent Grimes was awesome at it.
Yeah.
It just
That's
shows.
Not shocking.
Yeah, like guitar band or rock band. He's an expert on guitar playing songs, and it's like, how in the hell are you able to play that? Or singing. Sings smooth voice.
No kidding.
Oh, it was awesome. It was fun. It was a great time.
That's awesome, dude. It looked like a great trip.
Sometimes you got to be a savage.
Yeah. And that should be our thing. I like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be a savage.
Ted and I are doing this weekend. I think we got to do savage stuff. I don't know what that means, and it could get us into trouble, but we got to do savage stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Killing some beehives.
Maybe that's our whole thing. Our savage stuff is just like random. Like it's just like a bud, you know, chicken wing bones. You're like, we just did some savage ass, dude.
That should be, we should tweet at some point. I don't know if we want to do it on our Twitter or if maybe we take over the Donkey Hockey Twitter page.
Yeah.
I think it's just at Tacoma Donkeys. Just knock over a garbage pail. #savage.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you guys are losing a game or one of the games you're losing.
Probably is going to happen. Chug a beer. Savage.
Chug a beer or just, I don't know, if it's a cool team, just talk to one of the dudes and be like, look, when you skate in front of me, I got to check you.
Yeah, I'm going to trip you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I got to be a savage.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So, and hey, tweet us if you ever do anything savage.
Yeah.
Tweet us at the Megacast.
If it's aggressively savage, just keep it legal.
Right, yeah. Like, let's work within the confines of the law.
Right, don't hurt yourselves.
Right, we don't want you to get arrested. All right, why don't we take a break? When we get back, if we have time, it's a bummer, man. Charlie Murphy passed away right before we started this podcast. It'd be kind of fun to just reminisce and go back in time to one of the greatest moments on the Chappelle Show.
All right.
With Charlie Murphy.
Nice.
And if we have other stuff, we'll be savages about it.
Savage.
Savage. And the Megacast gets back.
It's time for us to seal the deal and boogie, whatever the that means. But we will be back.
This is your captain from the flight deck. Thank you for flying United Airlines. We're now at a cruising altitude of shut the hell up with an expected arrival time of whenever I get around to it. The fasten seatbelt sign is on, so don't even think about it. And smoking, of course, is never allowed. So don't make me come back there. We do have 3 complimentary movies to choose from, including the classic comedy Airplane.
Stewardess, please let me handle this.
Calm down. Now get back to your seat.
A Brad Pitt selection.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Or Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
But that guy, he's fine. We did get him home. We got him on another flight on Spirit Airlines.
Yellow Beats, come at me.
And Chewy on some hot boy. Like I talked to Shay, see when I boys. Like you seen him twirl, then he drop. Boy. And we keep them all to my block. Boy. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. Boy. And we be wildin', he some hot. Boy.
cones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you can catch a sh.
Welcome back. Two Hot Boys, B-Tech Smith,
Savages.
And Steve, the Megacast.
Couple savages right here.
Yeah. We gotta get that 21 Savage for the trip since we're savages.
Yes.
Right?
We gotta work on a playlist for the weekend.
Pulling all these rappers' cards.
We might have to work into I gotta get
They got eight. No heart, Steve.
I don't. What is that from?
That's that guy's song, No Heart.
All right. Yeah, you lost me.
Grew up in these streets without no heart. I like that guy. He raps so slow you can understand every lyric.
Yeah.
Like, learn it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, when we were, like, AJ was, like, playing a lot of his rap songs, and he was, like, kind of giving me a behind the music of the lyrical content. And I'm like, yeah. Bro, man, I don't ever really pay attention to lyrics. I just kind of like the beat. But, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue. Like, a lot of the stuff you're saying is going right over my head.
Yeah. Well, that's like, we talked about Bad and Bougie forever, and then I finally just, like, sat down and listened to it. I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to really listen to the references, and it makes a little more sense.
Well, and he was telling me about, like, he was playing somebody, I can't remember who, and he's, like, I never bother to question sometimes, like, these, like, weird relates that the rappers, or even anyone, like, lyrically, like, that's in a younger generation. And he's like, oh, yeah. that he said that because it's based off of a cartoon character that is fully bald, and that's why you're saying that the girl is as clean shaven as blah blah blah. And I'm like, you know, honestly, I would have just accepted that. I didn't understand what the hell you were talking about. I didn't know that there was actually a really witty, clever relate to that.
Yeah, and sometimes, man, like, that's just stuff that old people do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to explain it, but just like, oh, these rap songs now don't make any sense. It's like, no, you just don't get their references.
At all.
Right? Like, they're not just putting words together.
Right. They're not making up names. Like,
and trust me, I'm guilty of it too. Like, we sat here and we're ripping on that Panda song, didn't realize it was about a scary dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Migos means amigos.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm guilty of it too. But yeah. It is funny. I just, especially you see it on Facebook and stuff sometimes, and it's like, yeah, we're just older. We don't get the references. It doesn't mean that they're talking nonsense.
And then some of the situations, some of the references are based off of, like, television shows they were watching as kids growing up.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about these cartoons that a 20-something-year-old dude that's writing now hip-hop songs is relating to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's silly, but it's like, I can listen to Paul's Boutique and know every reference that they're talking about because I grew up at the same time as the Beastie Boys.
Right,
exactly. So I get the references.
I mean, even for our age group, like, I guarantee you there's a lot of people who have no idea who Rod Carew is.
Yeah. Well, like Carol Burnett earlier. I mean, I was stretching
that
on
was
that
savage,
one.
Bro.
It was.
Sometimes that was some savage ass, man.
Sometimes you just got to be savage, you know? Hop things and jump on S.
Hashtag Carol Burnett. Which I can't spell, so maybe we shouldn't hashtag that.
We'll sound it out.
Burnett.
Is it two T's or one T's? Is it two R's? Is it two N's? I don't know. I was talking about how I was, when we were in the break, I told you how, like, you know, we were bummed that we didn't get to film that savage moment by Brent Grimes. But then there was a moment of almost like, oh my God, we do have it on video because AJ's got security cameras that are motion
right.
sensors. So as we're all reminiscing about how awesome that moment was at like 1 a.m., AJ's like, I got security cameras and it's linked up to my phone. We're like, bro, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, send it to me. I'll edit it tonight. We'll get that video up. It's going to be a viral hit. Brent Grimes is a savage. And then we realize, oh, it's motion detector, and most of the stuff that happened outside of the motion detector window.
Do you know what section of Orlando he lived in?
He basically lives right next door to Disney World. I'm not even joking. You have to drive through Disney World to get to AJ's house.
Nice.
He can see the fireworks from his house.
Yeah, and like I asked you Friday night, I was like, well, which park, Steve? You're like, I don't know. And I was like, well, they shoot fireworks off at a lot of the parks every night.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Animal Kingdom's the only one that doesn't have them because they have animals.
Oh, that would scare the animals.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I have no idea, but I was very jealous of that. I was like, man, this is amazing.
Disney World, sorry, just a quick aside,
mm-hmm.
and I won't say who this person is, but somebody I know through like Sounder stuff.
Is it Mickey?
Oh, hey, it's hey. Mickey.
Or is it Minnie, who's on my watch?
Oh, look at that. He's a guy that works, either way, he's not a guy that I would ever pick and be like, Like, he's going to buy into the Disney magic and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's very adult about his thoughts and this and that. And he's a super, super smart guy. Like, he doesn't say anything that he hasn't really kind of thought out or back it up. But he's been in Disney World for, like, the last few days. And even he's like, he's going to Universal because he's excited. But he's like, man, leaving Disney World feels odd now that I've been here for a few days.
Yeah.
Like, they are so good at it. And I get it. It's a giant corporation, this and that. Disney World is kind of like the Kennedys. Like, generally, it's stuff I would be against, but I have a soft spot for them, so I love them.
Yeah, I know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's funny that you talk about that because my wife, you know, I give her all the credit. Like, she is so willing to be patient with me and my dumb things that I love to do, like go to Orlando for a weekend just to go to WrestleMania.
That's a long flight from here, too, dude.
Oh, it was so long. Oh. So long. Like, thank God for Netflix allowing you to now download movies onto the app. So you
can fly through Houston or Atlanta?
Houston. Yeah. Yeah. So it was just brutal. But, you know, she puts up with all that and never, like, causes a fuss. Like, she, you know, I know that she doesn't necessarily want me to leave town and leave her for a weekend just to go watch wrestling, but she gets that it's important to me, or leave town for a weekend to go play hockey in Spokane and do, you know, an excessive amount of drinking and savage stuff that we will be doing this upcoming weekend. But she's
savages.
Still, she's patient. She had one rule. She's like, I don't care what you do in Orlando. If you step foot in Disney World, you and I have problems.
Ooh.
And you know how, like AJ went to Disney World on, I think, Saturday afternoon with Brent and his kid. And, you know, I was like, oh, man. But I wound up, luckily, I had tickets to go to a wrestling event, an indie show in town. But, like, I was like, do I go?
You're so close.
Right. I mean, so, like, minutes away from Disney World with a guy who lives minutes from Disney World who wants to go because he loves Disney World. He's got the pass and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, do I go? Do I not tell her? So long story short, I went. No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't go.
Well, I was going to say, you could have gone and not gone to one of the parks. You could have just gone to, like, the boardwalk or.
Yeah, we went to, like, Universal. We went to, like, the bar area.
Yeah.
And that was fun. We played mini golf. I'm very proud to say that I might be the only mini golfer that could have two hole-in-ones. Ooh. And still come in last place of four dudes.
What is going on? How many snowmen did you have on that card, Steve?
Bro, It was bad.
Damn.
And I had to buy a round of drinks.
I will say this. Disney World, they got rid of it. They used to have the most badass thing in downtown Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It was an island, right, that just, like, was kind of cut off. Because, you know, they have all those little fake. Well, you don't know. You didn't go in. But they have all these canals.
Or did I?
They've dug and stuff. So downtown Disney, God, what was it called? I forget the name of it. They got rid of it now. But it had, like, 15 bars on this island, right? And you had to be 18 to get on, 21 to drink. But when you were on, it was, like, every night was New Year's Eve with confetti and a countdown at midnight. And they had, like, a couple comedy clubs. They had, like, a rock and roll club. BET had a club. There was, like, girls walking around with syringes of Jello shots.
What?
This was years ago.
Were they dressed as hot versions of Minnie?
No, but they definitely look cute. I mean, it was like the most adult thing in Disney World ever.
I didn't even know that kind of stuff existed. Disneyland, there's really nowhere to drink.
Right. Disneyland, you got to go to California Adventure to get a beer.
Right. Or there's, I guess, that secret room, the 51 Club or whatever it's called.
Yeah. But nobody's getting in that.
No, you got to know someone who knows someone.
Yeah. So they
I bet AJ could get in there. I bet Stitches could get in there.
Stitches could get in.
Yeah. Rachel Barley, too.
They got rid of the island, which I don't blame them because it just was attracting, like, it was just attracting people that just wanted to get wasted.
And then be in a park with a bunch of kids.
Right. It's not really Disney World's thing, but it was one of the cooler things I ever saw. The only problem was they got rid of it. The only time I was on it, I was like 19, so I couldn't drink.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I love the idea of every night is New Year's Eve.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like, imagine if we started, like, opened up a club and it's just called New Year's Eve and every night is New Year's Eve in the club.
I
feel like that place would be hopping.
It would be. The only problem is now, though, man, you know, you go to a lot of clubs and they have confetti cannons all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a part of the EDM world. It's so lights and confetti cannons.
It's not like every band has them. Now, like, a band plays the showbox, they got a confetti gun.
Yeah. Well, the other crazy thing about that island they had was that, God, was it called Pleasure Island? That might have been what it was called. Was that, is all this confetti?
That'd be a great strip club name.
Pleasure Island?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the confetti you can imagine, right, for this countdown. And everybody's in the street chanting. And then the next day when you got there, you couldn't find a piece of confetti.
Spotless.
Right, because it's Disney. So, I mean, they cleaned the crap out of it every night.
Oh, it's always like, I remember last time we went to Disney World, granted different, but as we were leaving, it was closing, and you see the crew coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
You're at a Disney park, there's always a trash can within 12 feet of you. Because they did the research and figured out 12 feet is the maximum people will walk to throw away something.
Really?
So wherever you are at the park, like on Main Street USA or something, within 12 feet is a trash can.
Genius.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Like when you walk down Main Street
USA. That's like some John Taffer science.
Yeah, right when you walk down Main Street USA, you're overwhelmed with this like kind of feeling of being a child and this and that. And they legit pump in fake smells of cookies being cooked.
What?
Yes, because you don't think about it, but psychologically, it reminds you of being a child and being like somewhere nice with their like mom or somebody's making you cookies.
Where did you learn all this stuff? Is there a documentary I can watch?
Oh, you could find. You got to go online to find a bunch of this stuff. But I mean, my uncle, who we call Mickey, is a Disney freak. So we know, I know way too many Disney facts.
I like that he's such a Disney enthusiast that he's like, yeah, you can nickname me Mickey because I want to be the top dog.
He is.
All right. He's not called Goofy.
No.
No, he's not called, whoever else.
Everybody in the family has names.
Right. What's yours?
Simba.
Why are you looking at me like I should know?
I mean, I'm a grown man that wears Hakuna Matata shirts. I just can't wait to be king. I mean, you know me, Steve. I'm purely a Simba.
All right, Simba.
And every time I go, every park I go to, there's always like the guest services, and they will take any request you have. Uh-huh. So they're always like, can we help you with something? I'm always like, yeah. So, love Simba. There's not a young Simba character walking around. Could we get that hooked up? And they're always like, they're so nice about it, but I know in their mind they have to be like, why is he asking us for Simba?
Grown man asking for Simba.
Yeah.
What would be my Disney name then? Maybe Pooh?
Pooh? I mean, you could be. I think you're a little more active than, I don't know if I look at you and go, oh, it's Pooh Bear.
Pooh and Simba, the mega cast where we get savage.
Oh, that should be our rap names.
Pooh and Simba?
Pooh and Simba. Right?
Yeah, I don't know what, we'll throw out the mega cast people. All right, we know you're Simba. What Disney character should I be?
I mean, part of it, Steve's got to come from you.
I feel Pooh.
All right, you know what? You're Pooh.
I like Pooh.
Yeah, you want to be Pooh?
I want to be Pooh.
I don't, last time we had like 30-some Smiths. I don't know if we have a Pooh.
Oh.
You're in.
Then I could be part of the Smith crew.
The only problem is you do have a wife, whereas Pooh doesn't have a counterpart.
Mm.
So it's kind of nice. At one point, I had a Nala, but I got rid of her. And then I remember I got an email from my aunt that was like, how's Nala? And I was like, oh, we're not dating anymore. It's just Simba's on his own again.
My wife could be Tigger. That brings up weird memories, though. The one time when we went to Disneyland and we're taking pictures with Pooh and Tigger, and Tigger was being very flirtatious with my wife.
Well, come on, man. You know how Tiggers are.
Yeah, we almost had to throw fists. I was getting pissed.
Oh, man.
I'm like, Tigger.
Tigger about to see them hands.
Like, relax. Like, get your arm off of my wife.
I seen Baloo, the big bear, do that once at Animal Kingdom to a girl.
I wonder how often that does that happen. Like I laughed it off, but like the guy was being like a little, like, not like pervy, but like, okay, get your hand, like, all right, enough. Like, you're being funny, huggy Tigger. Like, enough.
Yeah.
Like, even Pooh looked like he was getting a little awkward about the whole situation. Like, Tigger sometimes does what Tigger wants. I mean, I can't help you.
That's what I'm saying. Tiggers do what Tiggers do.
How often do you think, like altercations happen with, like, patrons of the theme park and the mascots?
I think it happens more than we think, just because, like, people don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
The closest one I've seen, right? So, sorry, I turned this into a Disney thing.
No, I'm loving this. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah. We never really talk Disney. Like, I am so obsessed with the parks. I don't really, like, watch the movies and stuff anymore, but I love the parks.
I've only been to the park a couple times, but I absolutely love the park. That's why I find it so interesting, and you know so much.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'd almost be like, let me go with you guys and show you how it's done.
So I would love that, and I know Sid would love it, too.
So, like, one thing you can do is go to character breakfast, right? Or, like, a character meal. So, like, that means, like, while you're eating, specifically, you've made this reservation, or what do they call, like, priority seating or something. Like, they don't have reservations, technically.
Uh-huh.
So, the characters, you know which cast of characters, so they'll come up to your table, and they'll mess around with you and stuff. So, my family, mostly bald, but they're psychos about baseball caps, right? You don't touch another Smith's hat. You certainly don't put it on. Like, you don't, like, they're weird about it.
Okay.
So, my cousin Tim, we're sitting there at character dinner, Right. Right. Of, you know, Timmy, Tommy, Teddy. And Chip and Dale come by. I don't remember if it was Chip or Dale, but one of them's kind of joking around. We're all laughing. And boom, he grabs the hat right off my cousin's head.
Uh-oh.
So my cousin has this look of like, I can't believe Chip's touching my hat. Can't believe he took it off my head. And he's like kind of dancing around with it. And then he just kind of like, he didn't spike it, but he just kind of tossed it on the table. And it landed in a sundae. So it's got like whipped cream.
And like hot fudge.
Yes. And I swear to God, for a minute, I was like, he's going to take a swing at Chip or Dale.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think like that Tigger guy probably thought he was being really funny. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I saw somebody once almost like kind of get too close to Snow White. And she was kind of like, ooh, like back off. So I think stuff happens just because you just forget. Like, that's not really a princess. Like, that's a real person inside
of it. It's not a lovable chipmunk. It's some dude that might not necessarily be a decent guy.
He doesn't know. He's just messing with your hat.
Right. He doesn't know the backstory of the Smith family and their obsession with hats.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to spike it into the sundae, but it's like he's wearing gloves and he basically just has three furry fingers. Like, he's not holding on to things the best.
Well, it's been a touching tribute to Charlie Murphy.
Oh, it has.
It is a bummer. I just read that right before we started. I was like, oh, that's sad. I know you've had Charlie Murphy on the men's room, right?
We did.
It didn't go well. It's okay. I mean,
no, it didn't.
Like, we never booked him because I've always heard horror stories about him as a guest.
Yeah, he just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that weird? When it's like, well, why wouldn't you want to be promoting your show? I guess this is not really a very touching tribute then, but
no, it's not. I mean, look, but he was hilarious on Chappelle's show.
Oh, I just wanted to, that's why I wanted to talk about it. 57 years old, unfortunately lost his battle to leukemia, and
that is sad.
Yeah, 57.
I mean, whether or not he was nice to us on a radio show, besides that, like, that just sucks. 57.
Right. I mean, who knows what kind of day he was having? I mean, you never know, or maybe he's just on guard because he just expects every radio person to only want to talk about the Chappelle show. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can understand why sometimes comics come in a little apprehensive, but you wish that they wouldn't, because not every radio show is out to attack you.
No, and I mean, look, I do stand-up comedy, but comics are a funky bunch.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, feel it.
Yeah.
Those vibrations.
Ooh.
Another
I
relate.
Felt it.
Another relate for the 30-somethings and 40-somethings out there.
Oh, but I missed that for a second.
Yeah, Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, all right.
I wanted to share that one of the
Say hello to your mother for me.
I want to share one of my favorite moments. And of course, we are going back to the Chappelle show, but that's really what put Charlie Murphy 100%. On the map. And it was the story when he talked about Prince beating him in basketball.
Ooh.
So let's listen to this, and then we'll wrap up the mega cast.
I kind of learned something that day. Don't never judge a book by its cover. This cat could ball, man. He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his ass.
Triple J.
I mean, it wasn't even like it was close. It was a landslide victory.
And let's not forget, Prince is 5'2".
Oh, so my favorite line from that. Do you have it in there?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's just at the end. Game. Blouses.
Oh, yes. I love the when they reenact it. I miss the Chappelle show.
Chappelle show is great. And the way those, you know, Chappelle always talks about that Charlie just started telling these stories.
Right.
And then they were like, all right, we got to put him in the show.
And let's recreate these moments.
Yeah.
Game. Blouses.
I was there. I seen it. You don't believe me? You think I'm making it up? You think I'm trying to, enhance the story because I'm involved? I'm trying to give myself an excuse for losing because I'm telling you a story about Prince. I dare you to challenge Prince to a game of ball 1-on-1. Challenge him. Right? And make sure your people is there to see the game. Because you might get embarrassed. Trust me.
All right, he beat you in basketball, and then what happened?
After it was all over, he took us in the house to serve his pancakes.
That is so weird.
You got your ass handed to you in basketball, and then he serves your pancakes.
Yeah, and the reason he says game blouses is because in the setup, when he tells that story, it's like they get some athletic gear, and it's like, are you and the Revolution going to change? And they're like, no. So it's like, all right, I guess it's shirts versus blouses.
Well, I mean, both of them no longer with us. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I saw Prince once. It was awesome.
You saw him live?
Yeah.
Where? Here in Seattle?
Yeah. I almost hate to tell you.
At the Showbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost went to that show. Ticket fell through, and I remember being like, I'm not even a big Prince fan. I love Purple Rain, but I love a couple songs off of Purple Rain.
Oh, I bit the bullet and paid for it.
How much did that set you back?
It was like $250 or $300.
Worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
It was worth it to see him in that small a venue.
Yeah.
And it was an awesome show. But Prince, I don't know. Prince never had that huge effect on me that it seemed to have on everybody else.
Me either. But yeah. I respect how talented he was. And there's definitely, like, you know, a handful of songs that I would be like, yeah, I 100% agree that these are classic songs.
Yeah. And I mean, just for me, too, like, when he was in his prime, you know, I was like a child and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember there was just a confusing time to me where I was like, is that a gay dude? Like, women like him? Like, I just...
Right, why is he on MTV Music Awards wearing assless chaps?
Yeah, like, to me, his sexuality was kind of weird, and I never understood. And when, you know, when you're 12, 13, you're not positive of everything in your sexuality.
Right, right.
So it's kind of like, well, this guy's weird.
He has a nice ass, but it's a dude's ass.
Right? Yeah.
And he's got a bunch of hot girls, like, writhing all around him.
Right, that's what was so confusing, because, you know, just like at that age, like, well, I'm pretty sure he's into dudes, but look at all these hot chicks.
And he's, like, letting them lick him.
Yeah.
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 All right, well, why don't we get on out of here?
That's a weird turn.
I know it did, but that's what the Megacast does. Hey. Sometimes we got to be savages.
Savages.
That's right. Thank you guys for listening. Be on the lookout for weird tweets.
Yeah.
All weekend. Yeah. Follow us at the Megacast. Follow the donkeys at Tacoma Donkeys, because we'll probably be posting some stuff on there as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be at least one of us shotgunning beers like savages.
Yes. All right, let's get 10, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
All right, here we go. We making noise. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. I think we timed it out right. I think that meeting we were supposed to be at is over. But the food might be around.
All right.
All right, so let's get out of here. Thank you, guys, and be a savage.
Savage.